inundated by, you know, flood and fire, they bored a great ark, which, using Vasuki as a rope tied to Matsu, carries them across that ocean of devastation. And when all the world is dissolved, there is one lotus flower, golden lotus, floating upon the waves of devastation, undisturbed by the apocalypse. Matsya carries, pulls that ark, which boards at, which lands at Vidyanagar, where these sages, with the different branches of Vedic knowledge, live during the time of the annihilation. And then when Brahma again either awakens or reborn, according to whatever, and he glances upon the devastation, and everything comes back into manifestation, those sages who have resided and processed the different branches of Vedic wisdom in Vidyanagar, they're, you know, they disseminate that knowledge throughout the world. So Vidyanagar is the eternal abode of Saraswati in all branches of Vedic wisdom. And that's where Mahaprabhu went to school, Nimai. And you can identify the spot because one day he didn't have any, he didn't have an ink, a pen holder. So he stuck his pens in the earth. And they sprouted into trees, which, you know, grew to maturity very quickly. And they're still there. When a botanical expert came down from Calcutta to identify what kind of trees they were, nothing of this world. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, after discovering the Yogapith, was able to ascertain from that heart of the Dham, you know, all the different regions and places of pastimes from that position of the Yogapith, by studying, you know, Bhaktivinoda and different Parikrama guides and the old maps of the region. And after compiling Navadvipa Mahatmya, he wrote Bhavataranga, which in a sense is like a summary study of Navadvipa Mahatmya, but it's much more. Because he begins by just, you know, summarizing that lengthy narration of Lord Nityananda, primarily to Jiva Goswami. So he's condensing it. But as he condenses it, he actually enters into the lilas. And, oh, here's Arkatila. But then he sees Surya rising over the horizon, and he has Kuntimala and Tilak, and he addresses Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Welcome, my child, to Navadvipa Dham." And he explains how he became a devotee, but he directs him, you know, to find your way to Sri Palina. That's Vrindavan, you know, Krishna's garden within Navadvipa. So he's wandering. And he sees the Pandavas who came there after they were in Ekachakra, where Bhima killed the Bhakar demon. And then, you know, after that, Maharaj Yudhishthira was reflecting in Ekachakra. And after Pandavas and Draupadi fell asleep, the birds stopped singing, it was late at night, and the campfire went out, and he was just looking around, this place is so special. Some very special dawn. And then when Balaram appeared to him and said, you know, this is my place, but you should go on to Navadvipa, which they eventually did, where Vyasadeva again joined them and would narrate the Gaura Purana to them as demigods would come down to heaven and listen and just cry to hear the mercy with which Lord Gauranga, deliver the atheists and the blasphemers. And then he goes to pick some berries and roots from the forest for lunch, and then Draupadi appears out of nowhere. She said, "My child, I already made the offering to Lord Gauranga. This, if you eat this shock, his remnants, it'll deliver you from all material bondage." Take that. And he's just going more internal. And then it's just, so he's actually living and entering into the different pastimes he had already told, retold in Navadvipa Mahaprabhu. He's entering in. And, you know, he's seeing, you know, Ram and Lakshman with Sita in exile and all these different pastimes that unfolded, you know, over the ages and will forever by the dissolution of the creation. And then at a certain point he sees an effulgent goddess. Who is that? Oh, that's Kamala Manjari. That's me in my perfected form. Kamala Manjari, the servant of Ananga Manjari, the assistant of Lalita Devi, who helps Vishakha in serving the goddess of my heart. And then, you know, Vishakha appears with a tray of, you know, camphor. Oh, help us prepare this for the arti, because Rasa Lila is just beginning. And then he sees in that Rasa Lila, Adi Shyam, him and Srimati cast her merciful glance upon him. He finds himself back in Godumbi, in his room, in his house, looking out through the window across the Ganges, at the broad expanse of Navadvipa, this little transparent. Anyway, in that Bhavataranga, the point I was trying to get to was that when he came to, in his samadhi, came to Kulia, and he sees Mahaprabhu on the rooftop. He's simultaneously ecstatic and brokenhearted. He's seeing my Lord in the robes of a sannyasi troubles my heart. Because I prefer to think of him in wearing his yellow dhoti, playing with his friends on the bank of Ganga. And in coming to Shiva Sangha that night, where we all enter into Braj Lila in the Sankirtan, I want to take him back to Srivas Thakur's house. I want to see those long flowing locks of wavy hair, black and beautiful, framing his mischievous child moon-like face. But he's my Lord, and I'm his servant. I can't make demands. Performs these different leelas for different purposes, which is his free will. So just as the gopis, when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra in the robes of a king, they were on one level happy to be back with their lover, but it pained their hearts to see him in that form. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, seeing Mahaprabhu in the robes of a sannyasi, it pains my heart. I want to see him as that mischievous, frivolous, wayward, contending yayak, playing with his friends on the bank of Ganges, coming to Srivas Thakur's house at night, having sankirtan. So this Leela that Kaviraj Goswami is describing here in Kulia is actually a reenactment in Navadvipa of the gopis meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra. And the simultaneously joy and agony of that meeting purified those untold masses pilgrims and residents who were praying to have various desires fulfilled, devotional desires fulfilled, and to be given from their, forgiven from their offenses, which they were, by his instructions. So, Ganga Devi is synonymous with Navadvip Dham. And very important to understand as part of the culture and region, which serves as a framework to appreciate Gaura Lila properly. When Nimai was playing on the bank of the Ganges, you know, so many, you know, the Ganga was intimately related with all his childhood pastimes, and that's why he was, and even this later pastime, so interwoven with the flow of Ganga Devi. But the depth and the intimacy of Ganga to Mahaprabhu's Leela is revealed and explained by that Brahmana who's a devotee of Ganga Devi. And in the enchanting evening atmosphere, when Nimai would come to the Ganga to have darshan and give his darshan, and this Brahmin was just watching with some intrigue, that seeing this, you know, deep love that Mahaprabhu was feeling for Ganga Devi. And in response, she began to rise and swell and surge. And there wasn't a cloud in the sky. There was no storm or any indication of a flood. But her waters were rising and swelling and swirling as if dancing. And then Mahaprabhu came forward and put his lotus foot right at her side, and she reached out her waves and caressed those lotus feet, and then she subsided in a more peaceful mood. So, observing this, and then he also saw that at the same time Mahaprabhu was expanding in size. And the Brahmin, because of his pure devotion to Ganga Devi, could see that Mahaprabhu had taken Ganga Devi into his heart. And when in his ecstasy, it's explained that he's perspiring from every pore of his body. What is that? That's Ganga Devi flowing back to her original stream. And as Mahaprabhu looked upon her with tears of compassion, overcome with love for Ganga Devi, this Brahmin became so elated that he began to explain, because Ganga Devi revealed within his heart the story behind this Leela. And in great exultation, he began to explain it, because all the Brahmanas were, and the Matajis who had come for water and, you know, offering their flowers and fruits which are flowing down, they were observing this, you know, rising and swelling and swirling and dancing in eddies and tides of the Ganga that was, you know, normally she's quite peaceful. And they were perplexed, what is transpiring here? And then this Brahmin explained the history. He said, long ago, when Lord Shiva was so ecstatically singing Krishna's glories with great devotion, accompanied by Narada with his veena and Ganesh playing mridanga, their song was so harmonious and devotional that it reverberated through the coverings of the universe and reached Krishna's ears in Goloka, which attracted him. And he came before Lord Shiva and said, please don't sing like that. That kind of song is making my body melt. And Lord Shiva said, I want to see that. So he resumed singing more ecstatically. And then before his eyes, Krishna's form literally began to melt. And Lord Shiva was terrified. And he stopped singing. But Brahma took his kamandalu and caught that melting form of Krishna, which he understood is liquid Brahman, infused with mercy. He caught it and preserved it and cherished it in his kamandalu. So when Lord Vamana took his third step and his toe penetrated the coverings of the universe, Brahma took that kamandalu and he poured it upon that lotus foot. And the water from his kamandalu, combined with the causal ocean, merged into the flow which we revere as Ganga Devi. And the Brahmin concluded his narration by explaining that my goddess Ganga expressed her feelings to her servant, and that is why I'm able to share them with you. So Ganga Devi, during Krishna's Leela, observed that while Krishna resided as the king of Dwarka, it was like the later hours of the afternoon of the day, which was Krishna's Leela on earth. And Ganga Devi could detect that his pastimes would soon be coming to a close, as did the other holy rivers. So, as a spokesperson for all those sacred rivers, Ganga Devi approached Krishna in Dwarka. She said, my Lord, I see that time is approaching. When the sun sets on your manifest pastimes. And at that time, Kali Yuga begins. Now, there was a very interesting darshan, or it was supposed to be a darshan, but in New Vrindavan in 1976, but because it was rainy and cold, weather had just turned, Srila Prabhupada was not feeling well. So finally his servant told us that we won't be giving darshan tonight. So as the devotee is very downcast and brokenhearted, we're leaving the house. Srila Prabhupada saw and told Pradyumna, no, bring him back. So Pradyumna said, you will give darshan, but inside the house. So we came in. And Srila Prabhupada was visibly not feeling well. And he wasn't speaking, but he asked Pradyumna to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam the descriptions of the characteristics of Kali Yuga. But when Srila Prabhupada heard the verses of Bhagavad, he started feeling very enlivened and coming back to life, and he began commenting with more and more vigor as the verses went on. But the one verse that he really focused on was, in the Kali Yuga, people who live on the banks of a holy river will go on long pilgrimage to bathe in a holy river. He said, just, I've seen, living in Calcutta, you know, people leave Calcutta to go to Hardwar to bathe in the Ganges. The same Ganges was flowing from Calcutta. But they have this idea that even though they've given up all aspects of following Vedic culture, they really hold strongly to this idea of bathing in holy rivers. And they do it very faithfully, but not with proper understanding. Because the main thing is by hearing from the holy sadhus who live on the banks of those holy rivers. They don't participate in that. They just go bathe. And that's about the extent of Vedic culture in Kali Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada was commenting on that. But that same point is what really disturbed Ganga Devi. And she told Krishna that when you leave, and Kali Yuga just infects every aspect of existence with its toxic influence, the one trace of Vedic culture which will remain is that people will continue to want to bathe in the holy rivers, to have their sins washed away. The rest of their life will be completely sinful. What this means for the holy rivers is that we will be over-polluted and not have sufficient means of the sadhus to counteract that sinful overload. So the conclusion of her prayer to Krishna is that, these rivers, they're goddesses. And goddesses are Matajis, and Matajis have their anxieties, but very worthy anxieties. So she requested Krishna, please give us your permission, myself and all the holy rivers, that as soon as you leave, we will go underground and remain there until Kalki comes and purifies the atmosphere. And Krishna said, there's another factor you must be aware of. He said, in 5,000 years, not 4,500 years, which would be the time of Mahaprabhu's Leela, 5,000 years, in 5,000 years, my mantra upasaka, which means that one who worships me in the form of my holy name, a very specific form of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He will appear in this world. And he will take the message of Ekavarna, one varna, one designation, one class of Harijan. He will take that concept. And Srila Prabhupada even wrote that as part of his mission to establish Ekavarna. He also took it as half of his mission to establish Varnashram, four varnas. But that's all under the one varna of Harijan. So Krishna told Ganga Devi, my mantra upasaka will establish this one class, this one religion, this one eternal occupation for all souls, which was previously confined almost unnaturally within India. The universal religion and function of the soul will again expand from Bharatvarsha all over the world by the influence of my mantra upasaka. And he will gather up Vaishnavas from the whole world. And he will bring them to Navadvip Dham And when those Vaishnavas bathe in their waters, they will counteract the sinful toxicity of all these degraded souls who will be polluting your waters. So you stay, because that time of his advent will inaugurate the dawning of a golden age which will endure for 10,000 years, and Kali will not have a foothold anywhere. That these principles are being followed for that 10,000 year period. After that, when that golden age sets, then you can go underground with your sisters. So for 10,000 years, we continue to have. And what is the influence of Ganga Devi? Very paradoxical. Because even though she's liquid, she can dry up the tears of all the world. Even though she flows on earth, she is called by her heavenly name. And even though she removes the confusion of all the worlds, she swirls in eddies and whirlpools of joy, dancing in ecstasy at the prospect of touching the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga and serving his devotees. So, to have a proper grasp and frame of reference for Mahaprabhu's appearance, which is quickly approaching, we have to appreciate and understand to the best of our, not empiric ability, but submissive oral reception, sincerity, fortified with humility, to let these truths be revealed within our hearts so that we can properly welcome Lord Gauranga on his birthday, which is soon approaching. And when Ganga Devi came down to this world, escorted by King Bhagirath, riding on his chariot, blowing a conch shell, in great anticipation of how his forefathers would be delivered. And he could hear Ganga roaring behind his chariot. Then he didn't hear anything. He turned around, and she wasn't following him. And very fearful that perhaps he could have committed some offense or made some mistake, he turned his chariot around and retraced his footsteps and saw the wall of water standing still. So he got off his chariot and fell in the dust, praying and performing tapasya for quite some time before the goddess appeared to him. She said, "My dear child, King Bhagirath, I have come to fulfill your desire that your forefathers be delivered. But I beg you to honor my one desire, this deep wish that needs to be fulfilled. Because right now we were standing in Navadvip Dham. This is the month of Magh. The Phagun Purnim evening is coming. That's the birthday of my Lord. I request you that we stay here in preparation of worshiping that most blessed event here in his own holy land where he will make his advent. We will worship Lord Gauranga's appearance together here in Navadvip Dham. And after that, I will flow behind you to deliver your ancestors enhanced with a blessing awarded by this event that anyone who receives the blessings of my Lord and the nectar of his instructions will cross over the whole material ocean with all his forefathers. Hearing that, King Bhagirath was very happy, and he stayed in great anticipation with Ganga Devi until Gaur Purnima, where they worship Lord Ganga together. And true to her blessing, anyone who goes to Navadvip Dham fasts and worships Lord Ganga on his appearance day will, with many generations of forefathers, cross over the ocean of material existence. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
This is way too nice, you know, to hear all this, but then we have to get out of it, it seems like, you know, to do our worldly duties and all. So how does one try and forget this? And because if you, you know, if you get too much of this, it's like, it's not possible to...
There's a Bengali word, I can't remember the Bengali, maybe Pushkar knows, but the translation means too much fun. And it's a word that comes up repeatedly in Bhaktivinoda, in Srinivas and Shamananda, and Narottam Das Thakur, we're going on parikrama. And just, you know, seeing, you know, entering into Lord Gauranga's pastimes, entering into Krishna's pastimes, coming back to the present and into the future and back, and just entering into all these dimensions of Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila and present Lila, and it would just repeatedly become overwhelmed with having too much fun. This repeated experience of too much fun. And what would they do? They just go do something else. And then it would come upon them again, and then they'd just do something else. So we don't get stuck in any particular condition of devotional service, but try to internalize the experience that everything offers, and then just increase and enhance our devotional service from that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.